The sale of Yosef. According to the Sepharno, the Shvatim thought that they were justified, first in planning to murder Yosef, then planning to throw him in the pit, and then selling him as a slave. The Sepharno believes that the Shvatim thought that Yosef was a Rodef. In other words, that Yosef was trying to murder them, and therefore they thought that by doing what they did, they were acting in self-defense. The Sepharno brings three proofs for this idea. First of all, he says that that the Shvatim were all tzaddikim. Their names appear on the stones of the Choshen, and obviously, they did not lose their tzidkus because of this terrible sin. How can that be? And so the only possibility is that they were genuinely misled into thinking that they were killing in self-defense. The second proof that the Sepharno brings is he says, after they sell Yosef to the Arabs, they sit down and finish their meal. They don't seem to feel guilty at all. And the Sepharno says, even somebody who murders in cold blood is going to feel guilty after doing that. Someone who kidnaps, you know, maliciously is going to feel guilty and won't be able to just calmly return to his meal. The fact that the Shvatim did this, the only possible explanation is that they didn't feel guilty at all. They felt justified. They felt that they had done what they did in self-defense. And finally, the Sepharno points out, when later on in Parshas Miketz, the Shvatim visit Egypt, they're accused of being spies and thrown in jail. And in jail, they're speculating, what could we have done wrong that brought this punishment upon us? And they're like, well, you know, we didn't say we're sorry to him when we threw him in the pit. Like, we didn't throw him in the pit as we were saying, I'm sorry. And then Reuven says to them, hello, what about the fact that you threw him in the pit, period? Like, maybe that's what you did wrong. And the Sepharno says, like, how come it didn't occur to them that throwing him in the pit was wrong? It must be they felt that they were justified. It must be they felt that he was a Rodef. It must be they felt that they were killing him or throwing him in the pit in self-defense. And so that's kind of the Sepharno's thesis there. Now, we talked about two other cases in Jewish history where calling somebody a Rodef led to disastrous consequences. One of them was at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, close to the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Netziv explains that there was a big fight amongst the Jews, where half of the Jews felt that the only way for the Jewish nation to survive and to stay safe is to cooperate with the Romans. And that if the Jews rebelled and resisted the Romans, then that would destroy the Jewish nation. The other group of Jews felt the exact opposite, that cooperating with the Romans was a certain path towards destruction, and the only way to survive was to resist. And members of both groups considered the people who belonged to the other group to be Rodfim, to be jeopardizing the survival of the Jewish nation. And therefore they felt justified. If I was a Roman collaborator, I would feel justified murdering somebody who was a rebel. And if I were a rebel, I would have felt justified in murdering somebody who was in favor of being peaceful with the Romans. And this, according to the Netziv, is the Sinas Chinam that led to the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. It was such an intense Sinas Chinam that members of both sides felt that the people on the other side were Rodfim. And therefore, they did not deserve the right to survive because they were jeopardizing the Jewish nation. And that was a tremendous tragedy which led to the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. Third case is much more recent. In 1993, Yitzhak Rabin was the prime minister of Eretz Yisrael, and there was a man who was a little bit not right in the head. He got into his head that because of Yitzhak Rabin making peace with the Palestinians, the guy got into his head, Yitzhak Rabin is a Rodef. He is not a Rodef. He was not a Rodef. Halachically, he was not a Rodef. This guy mistakenly thought that he was, and therefore felt justified in assassinating him. And that was a third national tragedy that we experienced because of misapplying the concept of a rodeif. So that's, you know, sort of the same way that the Sefarno explains Mechiras Yosef was a tragedy as a result of misapplying the concept of rodeif. That's happened. We haven't learned that lesson. It's happened again and again through history. Again, what was the first thing the Shvatim wanted to do to Yosef HaTzadik? First, they wanted to murder him. What was the second thing they wanted to do? They wanted to throw him in a pit and let him die from starvation or wild animals. What was the third thing they wanted to do to Yosef HaTzadik? That is, they wanted to sell him as a slave to the Arabs. And we pointed out that when the Shvatim originally wanted to murder Yosef HaTzadik, the words that indicate that are Ve'ata lechu v'nahar gehu, let's go, or you go, and we will kill him. That's clear in their words, lechu v'nahar gehu, go and we will kill him. It's clear that they wanted to murder him. But then when Reuven heard them saying that, he said to them, don't spill his blood. Instead, maybe throw him into the pit. But we noticed something strange in the speech that Reuven gave to convince his brothers to throw Yosef in the pit. And that is in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Reuven, it says, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, that Reuven said to them, you know, don't kill him, leave him alone. And then in Pasuk Chaf Beis, again the Pasuk says, and Reuven said to them, don't spill his blood and throw him into one of these pits. And the Ramban points out that it's very, very strange. Why does it say, and Reuven said to them, leave him alone, and Reuven said to them, don't spill his blood, throw him in the pit. You don't need to say, and Reuven said to them, before every single word or every single sentence of the speech. Just say that at the beginning of the speech. And the Ramban basically explains that there was not one speech here. There were two speeches. The first speech was Reuven trying to convince the Shvatim to leave Yosef alone, to do what was entirely right, just leave him alone. But Reuven failed to convince them. And so he adopted a different tactic. He instead decided, okay, if they're not going to listen to me and leave him alone, then at least maybe I can minimize the danger to him. They said, you know what, let's make a compromise. I won't object to what you're about to do if you don't murder him with your hands and instead just throw him in the pit. And again, based on that, we understood why the second speech is a long speech. In the first speech, Torah only records three words, lo nakenu nafesh, let's not kill him. And that is because the first speech was a failure. It did not convince the Shvatim, and so that's why the Torah doesn't record it. It didn't do its job. The second speech was a success. It did convince the Shvatim not to murder him right away, and instead to throw him in the pit and wait for hunger or wild animals to do the job for them. And because it was a successful speech, that's why it is recorded at greater length. Now, what exactly, why did Reuven think that it was better for Yosef HaTzadik to be in the pit than to be murdered by the Shvatim? After all, in the pit he would slowly die of hunger or be killed by wild animals, and why was that any better than being killed by the hands of the Shvatim? And so there's three or five different explanations. Rashi says that Reuven was planning to return to the pit and pull Yosef out as soon as his brothers' backs were turned. The Meshech Chachma gives a slightly different explanation. The Meshech Chachma says that it's better to be at the mercy of wild animals and starvation than it is to be at the mercy of human beings who hate you. And, you know, we know during the Holocaust, right, it was far safer to be, you know, hiding in the forest, even though there was a danger of starvation and wild animals, than it was to be in the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, because people can be much more cruel than nature is. I mean, that's a Meshech Chachma's point, that, you know, the brothers who hated Yosef, they perhaps would have been more cruel than the wild animals. And finally, the Or HaChaim says that that throwing Yosef in the pit was safer for the following reason. The Or HaChaim says that we know that one of the principles, right, of Jewish faith is the principle of reward and punishment, that a person will never be punished more than they deserve to be punished. The person will get all the rewards that they deserve to receive. A second principle of Jewish faith is the principle of free will, which means that Hashem gives people the choice to do good or to do evil. And the Or HaChaim says, what happens when these two principles clash with one another? What happens if a person decides to use his free will to punish somebody who does not deserve to be punished? Which of the two takes priority? Which of the two is Hashem going to sort of make the dominant principle? And the Or HaChaim's answer is that that free will is the stronger of these two principles, and that if a human being chooses to use his free will to punish someone who doesn't deserve to be punished, or to kill someone who doesn't deserve to die, Hashem will let the person do that, even though the victim does not deserve what they're getting. And therefore, Reuven said, Yosef, I believe, said Reuven, Yosef is a tzaddik and does not deserve to die. If the shvatim kill him, Hashem is going to let them do that because of free will. But if we throw him in the pit, so then it's no longer free will versus, you know, reward and punishment. Yosef does not deserve to die. And as long as no human being is using free will to try to kill him, Hashem will not let this tzaddik die. And so Reuven said, let's throw him in the pit. And that way he'll survive, because Hashem won't let him die. He doesn't deserve to die. The only way that he could possibly die is if a human being, like one of the Shvatim, uses free will to give him this death that he doesn't deserve. And so the Reuven said, throw him in the pit. He'll be safer there. Because since he doesn't deserve to die, Hashem won't let him die there. Now, what argument did Reuven use to convince the Shvatim to throw Yosef in the pit? So here, the Ramban and the Sefarno sort of put some words in Reuven's mouth. And the Ramban points out that in general, you're supposed to pick the better of two evils, or the lesser of two evils. In other words, when there's two bad choices, we pick the bad choice, which is less bad. And so Reuven said to the Shvatim, he said, look, you know, you guys believe, I think it's an error, but you guys think that you're justified, that you need to kill Yosef. But there's two ways that you can do that. You can either do that by taking a bloody axe and chopping off his head, right? Or you can do that by putting him in the pit and letting the wild animals do the job. The former course of action is a very cruel way of killing him. The latter course of action is less cruel. You're not going to have your hands stained literally with his blood. The animals will do the job for you. And therefore, he said, the less cruel, the more compassionate form of execution is the lesser of two evils. And so Reuven said to the Shvatim, you know, you'd better pick the lesser of two evils, which is not staining your hands with his blood to kill him, but rather killing him in a way that will make you not so much into cruel individuals. The Sefarno gives a different explanation. And the Sefarno says that gam anosh la tzaddik lo tov, that a person who is refined, a person who is compassionate, even when somebody needs to be punished, he's not going to volunteer to be the one to give the punishment because he's a compassionate person and it hurts him, it hurts his neshama to do something that's cruel. And so the Sefarno says, Reuven's argument to the Shvatim was, that you guys are compassionate people, and you don't want to, you know, to hurt your soul by committing this act of killing, of execution. You may as well let somebody else, like a wild animal, right, or starvation, you know, do the job. And so that way, you do not have to be the agent of punishment. And that's the Sefarno's explanation. there's another way of explaining what's going on over here. And that is that when somebody is a rodef, and the victim of the rodef, right, the nirdaf, feels that he's killing in self-defense, he's not always allowed to kill in self-defense. If there's another way to save himself, let's say if he shoots the rodef's hand instead of the rodef's heart, so he can save himself without killing the rodef, he's obligated to do that. You can only kill in self-defense when there's no other option. And so it might be that what's going on here is that that originally they thought, we have to kill Yosef. Then they realized, we can put him in the pit and that will keep us safe also. We don't have to kill him, you know, with a bloody axe. So they put him in the pit. And then they realized that even just selling him as a slave will keep themselves safe. And so they sold him as a slave. But even that was wrong because, you know, Yosef wasn't really trying to kill them. But the Sefarno points out, it's very hard to tell the difference between forbidden and permitted self-defense. Because sometimes you have only moments to come up with a plan of action, right? There's a burglar in your house, right? What are you going to do? You don't have an hour to try to figure out, is the burglar a rodef, is the burglar not a rodef? If your life is in danger, or even possibly in danger, you need to act in order to save yourself. And so the Shvatim, they didn't have the luxury of like really thinking about this in a rational way, because they felt threatened in an immediate sense. Like, Yosef is going to kill us. We have to do something quickly in order to save our lives. And that might have contributed to the confusion, you know, that led them to, you know, to doing what they did. So basically, we have that the Shvatim, finally, the third thing they decide to do to Yosef is to sell him to the Arabs. And the Pasuk tells us that the Arabs' camels were carrying nechot utzri valot, which are sweet-smelling spices. And they were going down to Egypt. And Rashi learns a very important lesson from this. And the basic lesson is that, you know, every storm cloud has a silver lining, which means to say that in every bad situation, there's a kernel of goodness that can cheer us up, that can remind us that Hashem is watching out for us, and, you know, that he's doing, you know, everything that he does for us, for our own good. And in this case, you know, even though Yosef had been, you know, he just barely, you know, had almost been murdered, and now he was sold as a slave, but at least, you know, he had sweet-smelling spices to, you know, to accompany him on his way down to slavery in Egypt. And that was a reminder that in all of the darkness and all of the suffering, that Hashem still wanted, you know, to help make him happy, to help cheer him up, to help keep his spirits up, you know, that Hashem was still looking out for him. You know, the mashal that I gave was, I was stuck in traffic, right, and I saw a cute pun, right, on the side of one of the trucks that was passing by, and like, even though I was very frustrated, but like, I smiled because Hashem sent that joke for me. In order to cheer me up, he said, look, for whatever reason, you needed to sit in traffic right now, but I want to make it a little bit easier for you. I want you to know that I still care about you, and I still want you to be happy. And so the sweet-smelling spices, were Hashem's message to Yosef HaTzadik, look for the good even when things look very depressing, because I'm there for you. Every storm cloud has a silver lining. The Sefarno explains that that selling Yosef as a slave, the Shvatim might have thought it was Mida Keneged Mida. And Mida Keneged Mida means that the punishment matches the crime. That's what Mida Keneged Mida means. The punishment matches the crime. And the Shvatim basically had it in their head. They said that, well, Yosef, with his dreams, thought that he was going to boss everyone else around, that he was going to be in charge of everyone else. Now, as a payback for that, everyone else is going to be in charge of him. He's going to be a slave rather than a ruler. And that was their thinking of Mida Keneged Mida. Again, the mistake, obviously, is Mida Keneged Mida is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's privilege. God can punish people, if you will, Mida Keneged Mida, as like a wake-up call, like, hey, you know, you got to fix this particular Avera. It's not for humans to take upon themselves to give out justice in this way. It's only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But again, the Shvatim maybe have thought, this is a sign from Hashem. Right? He's sending us the opportunity to sell Yosef as a slave. It must be, right, like the divine plan, because Yosef wanted to be in charge of everyone else. Now everyone else will be in charge of him.